I'd like to call to order this regularly scheduled meeting for July 18th of the Irvine Planning Commission and ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Chair Nerschel is absent tonight. Let's start with Commissioner Pearson.
Present.
Commissioner Noland.
Present.
Commissioner Wong.
Here.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
The record will show that we have a quorum.
Thank you. I have asked Commissioner Nolan to lead us in the pledge tonight, so if you're able, please stand. The pledge will be followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Turn to staff. Are there any introductions this evening?
No introductions.
Any additions or deletions to the agenda?
Just a couple changes to the agenda with respect to agenda item number 3. We're going to reschedule that for the first meeting in September. So we're pulling that off the agenda. And then we are going to go ahead and continue the item relative to the additive request, which is item number 7.
Okay. With that, it's time for public comments. Public comments are for an opportunity for the public to address the commission on items that are not on tonight's agenda. I don't see any on my board. Is there anyone who would like to address the commission under public comments? Well, seeing none, we'll move to commission business. The first item of business is the minutes of the meeting of June 6, 2019, and I'm going to turn to our city attorney. My understanding is since only two of the members of the commission who attended that meeting were here tonight, that it would be a good idea for us not to vote on this item. Do we need a motion to continue? Or can
not,
we just...
Not officially. This isn't a official public hearing item, so we can...
Okay,
just...
well, we will then continue the reading of the minutes of the June 6th meeting to the meeting of August 1st. The next will be the minutes of the June 20th meeting, and I think we can vote on that one. So I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Vice Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes from June 20th.
I have a motion by Commissioner Pearson. Is there a second?
A second.
A seconded by Commissioner Noland. Any discussion? Please vote.
Motion passes 4-0.
On item number 3, since that's being continued and it's not a public hearing, would you like a motion on that, Madam City Attorney?
It's up to you. It's not necessary.
Okay, we'll just continue that then to the meeting of August 1st. Next order of business is selection of Chair Pro Tem. I will... open this item and entertain nominations. Well, seeing that no one's rushing up. Commissioner Noland.
I'd like to move and nominate Commissioner Pearson.
Okay. Any other nominations? In this instance, when you're doing officers, it does not require a second. So, surprisingly enough, by Robert's rules, you don't need to second it, so you're safe, Jeff. You can't decline. Everyone who see no other nominations, if please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
That passes unanimously. Congratulations, Mr. Chair Pro Tem. We'll move now to item 5, and I'll ask staff to introduce this item, please.
Thank you, Chair Smith. Item 5 is approval of a project report and environmental document for the Jeffrey Road at Irvine Center Drive Intersection Improvement Project. Melissa Dugan, Supervising Transportation Analyst, will provide the staff report on this item.
Hi, good evening, Commissioners. My name is Melissa Dugan, and I work for the Transportation Department, and I'm here to discuss the Jeffrey Road at Irvine Center Drive intersection improvements. The project is the intersection of Jeffrey Road at Irvine Center Drive. It is surrounded by residential uses on the southwest corner, Irvine Valley College on the southeast corner, a golf course on the northeast corner, and commercial and retail uses, specifically the Irvine Village Shopping Center on the northeast corner. Also, the SCE corridor and Manicero Farms are along the east side and the planned Jost Extension Trail. The project proposes to improve circulation at the intersection. The improvements include adding through lanes in the northbound, southbound, and westbound directions, lengthening the two existing southbound left turn lanes on Jeffrey Road, lengthening the eastbound and westbound left turn pockets on Irvine Center Drive, and converting the eastbound free right turn lane to a standard right. The proposed roadway widening supports City Council interest in managing traffic congestion in the city's major arterial roadways and was identified as a mitigation measure in the North Irvine Transportation Mitigation Program, or NITM. The project will also include bicycle and pedestrian accommodations. In addition to the Jost, it will add Class 2 bike lanes for westbound and northbound traffic. An initial study mitigated negative declaration was prepared to analyze any potential environmental impacts per CEQA guidelines. The draft was released for public review on March 28th of 2019. The notice of preparation was included in the Irvine World News, mailed to any property owners within 500 feet of the project location, and posted at city public notice locations. The public review period ended April 26th, and all correspondence from the public or any other agencies were considered and addressed in the final ISM&D being presented here tonight. We received letters from state agencies, mostly stating that they were received or with minor comments, such as from Caltrans to consider green paint for bicycle conflict zones. We also received questions and comments from two local stakeholders. One resident had some questions which were answered, and we also received communication from the Irvine Village Shopping Center who had objections to the loss of the northbound left turn access into their property. And with that, we'll talk about that for just a minute. There are currently two driveways into the shopping center. The driveway along Jeffrey is slightly more used than the driveway along Irvine Center Drive. And currently in a 24-hour period, so a full day, 451 vehicles do use the left turn, northbound left turn into the property center. And that does represent approximately 15% of the traffic entering the site. What would have to happen with the closure of that left turn access in would be that the traffic would reroute and use Irvine Center Drive, or including having to make a U-turn if they were already traveling eastbound on Irvine Center Drive. We did look at other options to try and keep the driveway open or to add a left turn opening on Irvine Center Drive, but unfortunately, we were unable to do so. The southbound improvements are unable to move forward without the removal of the left turn into the shopping center. This is due to the addition of a southbound through lane to accommodate the through traffic. It also wouldn't allow for any additional southbound left turn capacity, which currently carries over 500 vehicles in an AM peak hour. The item was heard before Transportation Commission on June 4th, 2019. And Transportation Commission voted to recommend City Council both adopt the subject resolution and move forward with the next phase of the project. Discussion at the Commission included the driveway access issue, the significant southbound left turn volume, the overall benefit of the project, and how the project would be funded, which is through the NITM program. With that, we're currently scheduled to appear at City Council on August 13th, and if the project were approved by City Council, it could move to final design as early later this year and to construction in 2020 or 2021. Therefore, the recommended action tonight is to recommend City Council adopt a resolution approving the project report and adopting the mitigated negative declaration for the Jeffrey Road at Irvine Center Drive intersection improvements, and recommend City Council authorize staff to proceed with the final design and right-of-way phase of the proposed improvements. That concludes my presentation. I also have with me tonight both the environmental and engineering consultants, and we would all be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you very much, Melissa. At this point, I think we'll turn to our public speakers, and it looks like we only have one speaker. Is that correct, Mr. Secretary?
That's correct.
Matthew Landers.
Good evening, commissioners. This is going to be brief. I want to thank Melissa and staff for being communicative during this process. We just want to go on record as saying we view this as a substantial impairment of access to the shopping center that will affect small businesses. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Landers. Is there anybody else? I see somebody else from the public who'd like to address us. Please come forward, and when you're finished, be sure to see the secretary so we can officially acknowledge your presence in the meeting.
I wasn't going to speak, but one of your commissioners sent out a public invitation to attend, and I realized that this item was on the agenda. My name is Beth Fujishige. I had a shop at this particular shopping center called Paradise Perks for several years. I'm no longer in business at that site, but the reason I wanted to address this group is that we were before the city council several years ago on this very matter. And at that time, the council had encouraged us, we, as small business owners and as a community, we came before the council advocating for this left-hand turn lane. And I'm sure if the shop owners had realized that today the Planning Commission was going to review this, or maybe they did, but they didn't realize it was going to be so serious, they probably would have been here as they were before the city council when this matter was brought up. At that time, the small businesses, if you look at the makeup of that particular shopping center, my colleagues there are very, you know, there's, I think there's only two national anchors. The rest of them are individual mom and pop kind of businesses. And so the detriment of not having that access, that north and southbound on Jeffrey Road, would be an implement or an impediment to their livelihood. And, you know, it's hard enough to do business without little mitigating factors. I realize it's a very small shopping center, but for those businesses, it's their livelihood. And so I know if they realized that it was on the agenda today, they'd probably be here. So I feel like I'm representing them, even though I don't have a shop there anymore. So I would like you to at least consider them. And I know they would appreciate preserving that left-hand turn lane because it's the only north and south access to that shopping center. And people would bypass that shopping center otherwise. So anyway, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you for coming to speak tonight. And if I can ask you to see the secretary so we can log you in, that would be great. Is there anybody else who'd like to address the commission on this particular issue? If not, then commissioners? Commissioner Pearson.
Yeah, Melissa, I noticed that there's three alternatives that were analyzed. Did each one of them increase the level of service, and was there, I know you've identified a preferred, why were the other two eliminated?
The other two were eliminated for a couple of reasons. The largest one were right-of-way impacts. One of the alternatives required more right-of-way, including right-of-way from the shopping center and the residential uses on the east side of the roadway. So we didn't think that that would be appropriate. The other one actually looked at a triple southbound left turn lane on Jeffrey. Unfortunately, our hope was that with a triple left, it wouldn't potentially block the left turn into the shopping center. But unfortunately, there's not enough space to add a third left to get that in. We also felt that operationally it wouldn't be as successful because many of the loading isn't equal between the two existing lanes. The cars tend to stack in the outermost lane, so another inside lane wouldn't actually show the benefits of lengthening the two existing buckets. So that's why those were both rolled
out. So the preferred alternative, it is the best level of service and the most opportune design, even though it does take away the left-hand turn lane, or the ability for a left-hand turn into the shopping center.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other commission comments? Well, if seeing none, then I have a couple questions I'd like to ask. And I did have a chance to speak to Melissa about this before the meeting. Melissa, if I could ask you to put up the overhead that showed the intersection, and I'm hoping that showed the shopping center. There we go. Yeah, the one on the left, the one with the left turn. That's great. In fact, I'm going to turn back to that. There we go. I noticed in the staff report that there were a number of figures that were tracking traffic in this location. And one of them was not absolute numbers, but was kind of gave like a level of service. It wasn't an A, B, or C. I think it was like 10.7 or 10.6, something of that nature. And there seemed to be very little change. If I look at the figures that we saw previously in the presentation, did I see that there was like 400 or 500 more cars that were going to go into that intersection or into that driveway, or did I, on Irvine Center, or did I misread that?
I believe you misread it. I apologize. I'm not quite following the question.
Well, I think you had a slide up that showed the number of cars that access the driveways from different directions on Irvine Center and Jeffrey. So it was 451. So, I was close.
It's 451, but that's in a 24-hour period. In the AM peak, I believe there are approximately, in the AM peak, there are 26, and in the PM peak, there are 100. We see with turns such as this that they're actually less used during the peak hours because the roadway's too congested that you aren't able to make that left turn anyway.
So the... I think it would probably be safe to assume, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that those 450 plus people using the left-hand turn lane will then go to the driveway on Irvine Center Drive, which will make that total somewhere around 1,700. Is that a safe assumption?
Well, many of those cars would already, or some of them would already be traveling through the intersection. For example, those traveling northbound on Jeffrey would still be traveling northbound, but now they would be making a left at the signal instead of continuing straight through and then making their left.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misstated the inquiry, perhaps. Let me clarify. I'm thinking strictly of the number of cars that are using the driveway on Irvine Center Drive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're assuming they would relocate to the alternate driveway, but the actual numbers at the intersection wouldn't change.
One of the things that concerns me as a user of this center, when you come in now on the left turn on Jeffrey, I don't want to say it's divided, but there are really no businesses that are along the entrance lane to the center when you come in on the Jeffrey driveway. On the other hand, when you come in the driveway on Irvine Center Drive, there's quite a bit of activity. That area appears, at least from a driver's eye, to be narrower. There are cars that are backing in and out of the parking stalls in front of the individual businesses. And under present conditions, that gets fairly congested. And I'm concerned about what that potentially might do as far as traffic backing up onto westbound Irvine Center Drive as people have to wait for cars to come in and out. Was that looked at when the study was done, the internal flow of the site itself?
On-site circulation was not. We could certainly work with the property owners if the project were to move forward to address any concerns and look at their on-site circulation, but it hasn't been at this point.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that compounds it, and it's certainly not something that we should be taking into consideration, but should have knowledge of, that there's a huge problem during the school year with students from Irvine Valley College parking in this center. And it tends to cause people who want to use the center for commercial purposes to loop and loop and loop and loop until they find a spot that's open. And of course, the reason that the students park here is because they don't have to buy a parking pass across the street and they put $40 in their pocket or whatever the fee is. So the internal circulation of this site is of great concern to me. The other concern that I had was regarding the condition of the landscaping, both surrounding this intersection and in areas where lanes are going to be added. And I'd just like to clarify that when we looked at the improvements at the intersection of Alton and Jeffrey, one of the things that caused us to change the recommendation was the fact that there were going to be some radical changes to the landscaping infrastructure, particularly on the west side of Jeffrey in the Woodbridge Village Association area. There were going to have to be retaining walls built. They were going to have to relocate the sidewalks. Can you tell us here what kind of changes we'll see both on Irvine Center Drive and Jeffrey, for instance, in the agricultural area, in the landscaping setback at the center, and what's going to happen to the area where the free right turn is at the WVA, and in particular, the corner where Irvine Valley College is. This commission heard the JOST extension item a few months ago and made recommendations to the council about potential beautification and an agricultural monument on that corner to coincide with the building of the JOST. I know that's a long, drawn-out question, but if you could address those issues, I'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'll start with maybe the northern section, and in that we'll say the reason this alternative was chosen is because there are essentially no impacts to the west side of the roadway. So where the shopping center is, there won't be any changes to the existing setback or landscaping. Secondly, the southeast corner, the reason for the removal of the free right turn is so that we don't have to, again, affect any of the existing landscaping. That width of where that concrete island for the right turn is will be used as the lane. So the green part you see and where the landscaping is and the sidewalk, those actually won't be affected by the project at all. On the eastern side, that's where most of the impacts will take place. However, as you can see, they're currently kind of the dirt areas. We are working closely with the JOST trail and their landscape, and we will be consistent with what they do. The plan is for them to move, to be built first, and we would then, when we move in, be consistent with that landscaping plan.
Okay, so the area that's on the Irvine Valley College property that houses what's left of the orange grove, is that in any way impacted by what's going on here?
It is, because we're moving that way, but we're working with the JOST project also to make sure that we're accommodating their needs. We will be working with them on a new monument sign, for example, but at this point, we've only identified that we will need to work with them on a monument sign. The look and feel and those things will be determined in the design phase.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Commissioners, any other comments at this point? Commissioner Pearson.
Melissa, one of the questions I've got is, you know, it appears looking at your graphic that with the elimination of the left turn on Jeffrey, each one of these traffic movements are independent and signalized independently from one another. Have we taken into consideration the stacking distance between the entry and the intersection? Is there sufficient distance to allow the traffic as you see it, as you've monitored it, to be able to flow into the center without interrupting Irvine Center Drive?
We believe so under normal conditions. If there's a collision on a roadway, it'll back up. So if there's an abnormal condition, there could potentially be issues, but we are lengthening kind of some of the turn pockets. When we do that, we'll relook at the timing of how the cars go through the intersection, but we believe there is distance between Jeffrey Road and that driveway to allow for the cars to complete that movement.
Are there any improvements being made to that drive entry? Or is it being widened or...
Not that have been identified at this time. Again, we could certainly work with the property owners if that's something that would be desired, but we didn't want to, that's their property and their right of way. So that wasn't included as a part of our project.
Understood. Thank you.
Commissioner Wong, did you wish to speak to this item?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Smith. You already asked a lot of the question I have in mind. It's more to deal with JOST. So my understanding is this will impact somewhat on the design of JOST. Does that mean that particular project will also, maybe this is a question for Deputy Director Gerich or Director Carmichael, would that project conceivably come back to us for us to review the design once again for JOST?
I think it's come to the commission once. I'm not certain that it's coming back again. Do you know, Melissa?
The design plans would go to Transportation Commission and to City Council. I don't know if design plans, PS&E, typically come to planning. We could certainly make the request.
Yeah, if there's an interest in seeing those, we could certainly place that on an agenda for the commission to take a look at those design plans.
Well, I think the interest will only be if there's significant design alterations from what we have reviewed previously, which would impact what our recommendation was. Other than that, I do take consideration into the left turn, the concern of the business owner there very seriously. For the record, I go to this shopping center for my martial arts lesson every Monday and Wednesday night, so I know what that is like. But I take the left turn on Irvine Center Drive and go into through the main entry, not off Jeffrey, because I personally hate to do left turn without lights. So, but obviously from a business perspective, they want as easy of access as possible. So we should take that into consideration. Thank you.
Commissioner Nolan, did you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. It's really more of a comment. In reading the comments that we received, the letters from the businesses, I'm very sympathetic to that, and I hear you. And I really wrestled with this left-hand turn lane. But looking forward in the long-term planning, I think I'm leaning more towards supporting the Transportation Commission recommendation that I think long-term in terms of transportation, our traffic along Jeffrey going north and south is very important. And my fear is looking at 2025, I would really hate to see traffic be at a level of service E or F. So with that, I'm leaning towards what staff is recommending.
Commissioners, I'm gonna take an unusual step here. Whoever makes the motion, I'm going to ask on the second part of the motion where we make recommendations to City Council that we include two items. Number one, that staff work closely with the property owner at the Irvine Village Center to ensure that the internal circulation on the property and the access to the property remains optimum. And secondly, that the council direct, we recommend the council direct staff to pay particular attention to the corner of Irvine Center and Jeffrey occupied by Irvine Valley College, and that all efforts be made to ensure that the agricultural monument that we spoke about in an earlier agenda is taken into consideration, and also that there be, if possible, efforts to save the existing orange trees, because I believe those are the only orange trees left in the city, and those are kind of part of our agricultural heritage. So if the maker and seconder of the motion would be supportive of those items, I ask that you would add those to your motion. And seeing no other comments, I will ask for a motion from someone here. Well, in that case, I will make the motion to adopt the resolution shown on sub-item 1 on agenda item 5 regarding the project report and mitigated negative deck for Jeffrey Road, and recommend City Council authorize staff to proceed with the final design and right-of-way phase with the two additional points that I had made previously.
I will second that, and I will comment that I think it is appropriate for us in a long-term view of our circulation and transportation system to approve this, even though I dislike the taking away of private property rights and opportunities. But I think in the long-term benefit of the city, these intersection improvements need to be made. So my second stands along with your two additional comments.
Thank you very much. The motion was made by the vice chair, seconded by Commissioner Pearson. Discussion on the motion, please, commissioners. Seeing none, please vote.
Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you. That moves us to item number 6. Staff, would you please introduce this item?
Thank you, Chair Smith. This is a municipal code update related to correction period and notice requirements for municipal code and zoning ordinance violations. Steve Holtz, our neighborhood services manager, and Cassie Palmer, our code enforcement supervisor, will provide the staff report on this item. I'm glad I'm not the only one who has problems with the screen.
There we go.
Good evening, Vice Chair Smith and Planning Commissioners. My name is Steve Holtz, and I'm the Neighborhood Services Manager in the Community Development Department. And with me is Cassie Palmer, our Code Enforcement Supervisor. At your May 16th meeting, the Commission recommended comprehensive updates to the Municipal Code and Zoning Ordinance with a goal of enhancing neighborhood quality of life for Irvine residents. After this meeting, but prior to the code updates being forwarded to the City Council, staff identified an additional recommendation, that was inadvertently omitted from the comprehensive update. We are here this evening asking for the Commission's feedback on this one additional update, which is a proposed amendment to the Municipal Code regarding the correction period and notice requirements for municipal code and zoning ordinance violations. Municipal Code Section 4-13-304B outlines the correction period and notice requirements for municipal code and zoning ordinance violations. Staff is recommending an update to this section that would allow the city to require more expedited corrections of violations, particularly those involving neighborhood quality of life concerns. Currently, the code requires the city to issue a notice of violation with a 30-day correction period before a citation can be issued. The proposed update would allow the city to require a shorter correction period when voluntary compliance is not achieved and circumstances warrant more immediate attention. Education and voluntary compliance is always our primary goal, and in fact, We have a fantastic code enforcement team led by Cassie that historically achieves a 97% voluntary compliance rate, meaning almost all of our cases never get to the point of having to issue a citation. There are rare instances, however, when responsible parties continue to violate the code even after being warned and provided a reasonable time to comply. There are some violations that may warrant a shorter correction period, and these include construction noise during unpermitted hours, illegally blocking the public right-of-way, and illegal dumping. It should not take 30 days for someone to stop these types of violations, and allowing such violations to continue for 30 days may have an adverse impact on the quality of life for surrounding neighbors. The proposed amendment would allow the city to more quickly resolve these types of violations in the rare instances when voluntary compliance is not achieved. The amendment will continue to allow the city to provide longer times to correct a violation if appropriate and reasonable. While municipal code amendments do not require a recommendation from the Planning Commission, staff has historically asked the commission to review and provide feedback as part of broader code cleanups like we did on May 16th. Consistent with this practice, we are here tonight asking for the commission's feedback on this proposed update, which will then be submitted to the City Council for consideration. That concludes staff's presentation. We'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Mr. Secretary, do we have any speakers for this item?
No.
And if I'm not mistaken, this item was actually on the last agenda and we moved it to this agenda in order to comply with the Sunshine Ordinance. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Seeing no public speakers in, we'll turn for commission comments. Commissioner Pearson.
Yeah, I my only comment is I think it's an appropriate opportunity for us to allow flexibility in our codes, and that, you know, if within a period of time it is deemed to be an immediate necessity, I believe that staff should have the ability to notice and to enforce the ordinances within the city. So I am all in favor of this opportunity.
Thank you, Commissioner Pearson. Commissioner Wong.
Thank you, Vice Chair Smith. So I just have a question. I just want some clarification. In your presentation, you mentioned this will allow shorter or longer notice to correct if deemed appropriate to the city. Is that correct? So on the text, it seems to be focused on the shorter. So can you give me examples of what you have in mind in terms of shorter, also what will require longer than 30 days?
Certainly. Right now, as the code is written, we're required to give at least 30 days. So currently, we can go longer. And typically, we offer longer periods of time when it's a more complex case that may require, for example, getting building permits and having to go through maybe a CUP process, which would require a lengthy period to go through that to that approval process. On the shorter end, some of the examples that we came up with were noise. We do have complaints. We do get complaints of people doing construction early in the morning, late at night, holidays, weekends, when it's not allowed. We warn the contractor of the required hours, but sometimes it continues. After a warning for something like noise, it doesn't require getting a permit or getting a CUP. They can stop that construction as soon as they're advised of the rule. And so with this amendment, what we would be able to do is still give them that warning, educate them on what the rule is, but then if they continue to violate the rule, we could more immediately crack down with a citation.
All right, thank you.
Any other comments? If not, then the chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure how you, I will go with the recommendation I move that we recommend to City Council the code correction 4-13-304B as written.
Very good. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
The motion was made by Commissioner Pearson, seconded by Commissioner Wong. Any discussion? Please vote.
Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you. This moves us to public hearings. The first one, item number 7, I know is going to be continued, but I'm going to ask staff to introduce the item first.
Thank you, Chair Smith. This is a zoning ordinance update to clarify provisions related to additive development intensity. And as you had indicated, we are recommending this be continued to August 1st. We have some additional outreach we need to do to stakeholders.
Okay, I will open the public hearing and ask for a motion then for continuance.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. Commissioner Nolan, please go ahead.
Is additive, this word additive, is that a City of Irvine planning term, or is that a term that's used by other municipalities and recognized?
It's a term that I'm familiar with the City of Irvine. I'm not familiar with it being used in other jurisdictions.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon, Commissioner Nolan. I'm sorry I didn't see. Not used to using this board yet. So again, I'll ask for a motion if there are no further questions.
So moved.
Second, please. The motion was made by Commissioner Pearson, seconded by Commissioner Noland. Any discussion? Please vote.
Motion carries 4-0.
That brings us now to item 8. Would staff please introduce this item?
Yes, item 8 is a vesting tentative tract map 19007 and master plan modification in Development District 5 North of Great Park Neighborhoods in Planning Area 51. Victor Mendez, Assistant Planner, will provide the staff presentation on this item.
Thank you very much. I'll open the public hearing and we'll receive staff report.
Good evening, Vice Chair Smith and Commissioners. As stated, this item is for vesting tentative tract map 19007 and master plan modification number 3 for a portion of District 5 North of Great Park Neighborhoods. The project site is located near the intersection of Cadence and Shannon in Development District 5. By way of recent background regarding the project site, in October 2018, the Planning Commission unanimously approved VTTM 18165 for the northern portion of District 5. This approval subdivided approximately 238 gross acres for the development of residential, commercial, park, and school uses. In November 2018, the Planning Commission approved the master plan for the development of 1,715 residential units for District 5 North. The map before you tonight is to remap 3 sites, approximately 10.3 gross acres of the previously approved map, into 16 numbered lots and 10 lettered lots. The proposed changes are a result of the planned replacement of 46 residential single-family detached units with 69 residential condominium detached units. There is no net increase in dwelling units above their previously approved entitlement, as units are being shifted from elsewhere in District 5 into District 5 North. The project site will have a net density of 9.9 dwelling units per acre, consistent with the zoning ordinance. Additionally, all development standards, including minimum site size for residential and non-residential lots, are satisfied. The proposed project increases the amount of parkland from 13.4 to 13.5 for the market rate units in District 5 North. The master plan is for the development of the new 42 by 90 product type, consisting of 69 detached residential condominium units. These units will be developed at 2 stories in height with 4 to 5 bedrooms. There are 3 different floor plan types, planned ranging from 2,700 to 3,200 square feet. The master plan is consistent with the city's zoning ordinance in that the project satisfies all development standards for site size, site coverage, building height, building setbacks, parking, and minimum site landscaping standards. On June 19, 2019, the subdivision committee reviewed vesting tentative tract map 19007 and voted unanimously to recommend planning commission approval. Staff has reviewed the proposed project and determined that both applications are in compliance with the City of Irvine requirements and standards. The proposed project is within the scope of the project covered by the 2012 Second Supplemental Environmental Impact Report for Planning Area 51, and all applicable mitigation measures have been incorporated into the resolutions for the project. Therefore, staff recommends Planning Commission approval of the project through adoption of the 2 resolutions. This concludes staff presentation. Staff and applicant are available to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you very much for the presentation. Looks like we have a couple of speaking requests for this item. So we'll take public comment first. The first speaker will be Susan Sayer.
Hi, good evening. My name is Susan Sayer, and I'm a longtime Irvine resident. I had my comment handed out to you all, and now from the presentation that we had, it was a little more clarified. My first issue relates to density, and I believe this is the project that stimulated the proposed change in policy whereby a master plan cannot receive both additive density and density bonus, nor retroactive density, and master plan amendments that include density transfer from other areas triggers the new master plan agreement. It appears that Five Points submitted their proposed master plan amendment just in time to avoid the new policy requirements. I originally stated here that I was concerned because I didn't know where those 23 units came from, whether they were additional more 23. It was unclear in the documents I was reading, but I'm not as used to reading it as you all are, from where they were being transferred or if they're being transferred. But now I understand that they are being transferred from another site. My second issue is the narrow lot line with the width between the housing units. Personally, I'd rather have a common wall than the narrow lot line. If there is a fence between the units along the lot lines, then it appears there would only be about 3 feet between the residential units and the fence. This does not appear to be sufficient space for contractors to paint or make other improvements or repairs to the structures. My condo has undergone considerable upgrades, including restuccoing, repainting, and replacing patio support posts. Construction supplies and equipment took up a lot more than 3 or 4 feet. Our general plan and program 1 Irvine requires maintenance and repairs to structures within all Irvine neighborhoods, so the allotted space will have to be adequate to give contractors their ladders and equipment the space needed to provide their required maintenance and repairs. One last point. Five Points received a density bonus and additive density in exchange for building affordable units. Irvine has a huge affordable housing deficit and has a large state-mandated RENA quota of affordable housing to meet. This master plan does not appear to designate any of these 69 units as affordable. Where are the affordable units? When is Five Points going to build them? We're waiting. We need them. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, Patrick Strader.
Thank you, Commission. Really just here this evening to thank staff for all their hard work on this application and answer any questions you may have. If staff needs any assistance in responding to any of those previous statements, I would say most of them don't apply. There are very simple answers to a lot of the questions that Ms. Sayre asked. There's an affordable housing plan for the overall planning area 51 that has triggers on when affordable housing is built, and it's not done, you know, on the 33-unit basis. It's done across the entirety of the planning area, and actually more affordable housing has already been built and delivered within this planning area than in many other places in the city, and remind everybody that it is permanent affordability. So that is not part of the discussion here this evening. This is a very simple technical change to the maps, to the entitlements, because of a response to market conditions and planning principles. And with all due respect to all those questions, they're very simply answered with regard to the overall plan for the planning area. So we look forward to your approval this evening. If you have any specific questions, there are members of the project team here to answer them.
Thank you very much. I don't have any other speakers on the list. Is there anyone else who would like to address the commission on this particular item at this time? If not, before we move to commission question and comments, let me turn to staff real briefly. There was an issue brought up in Ms. Sayre's comment about the fence line, and I know that we had discussed that earlier this evening when we were going over the agenda in the chairman's meeting. So, Mr. Garrick, if you could, if I could turn to you and ask you to address that real briefly, that there are some technical differences between an attached or condominium project and a single family.
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Smith. There are differences. This site is a condominium project, so there are no lot lines between the individual units. Those lot lines exist around the entirety of the track, so those setbacks don't apply to a fence line. There may be privacy walls between units, but there's no property line there. Any maintenance of those structures, there's sufficient room to accommodate painting and maintenance, and I believe that's all done by the Homeowners Association. So that essentially encapsulates what's occurring on the site.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And I think Mr. Strader had addressed the affordability issue. Is there anything else that you wish to add?
I believe that's it.
Okay. We'll turn to commissioners then. Questions or comments, commissioners? Commissioner Pearson.
I just have one simple question to staff, one direction or the other. In the addition of the units in this specific area, how do we track, what is the city's policy on tracking the overall count so we don't go over the cap within the area?
We have two caps that exist, one that's at a zoning level and then one that's at a planning area-wide level. We have sophisticated databases that track both of those. So as building permits are pulled, we track that in our database to make sure that the units are within the overall cap for both of those, both within the zoning district itself as well as the planning area as a whole.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Nolan.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not crazy about adding more units, and I think I shared this with Mr. Strader, but I think if the market has changed and the market is buying smaller condominium units, I think if we can approve this, I think it's a good thing, because the last thing we want is a neighborhood that's, you know, filled with houses that can't be sold. But I just wanted to say that I am not crazy about adding additional units. My second comment was with regard to the shorter driveways. And I know that there was something in our packet, staff packet, that talked about having shorter driveways. I think our minimum driveway was 25 feet, and I was concerned about this, but it's my understanding that it's just one driveway that's going to be less than 25. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, okay. And thank you for that clarification. I think that's it.
Commissioner Wong.
Thank you, Vice Chair Smith. So I just want to confirm that even with the 23 additional units in added to this track map, it would not increase. It's still within the overall cap, which is 1715. Is that correct? For the overall parcel.
So for District 5 North, mm-hmm. it was master planned for 1,715 units. Mm-hmm. By adding these 23 units, essentially it increases to 1,738 for District 5 North.
So it does increase the overall.
It increases that portion of District 5, but not the
overall
entire
District
overall
5. Okay, District. So it's a larger number that's remained the same, not the 1715.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, because that was not clear to me. Mr. Strader, may I ask you a question?
Of course.
Just want to understand, because earlier this year we did approve the 1,056 additive units for this, and my understanding is those unit number has not been assigned to any particular parcel. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with the numbers in what we're discussing tonight.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Well, you may be shocked, but I actually have no questions this evening. Commissioner Pearson.
I just want to clarify that, the additional 23 units have been taken into consideration on the traffic for that localized area, and that there are no significant impacts to that specific circulation element that the additional units would be part of.
That's correct. So transportation staff reviewed a traffic evaluation and determined that the circulation network can accommodate the project.
Okay, thank you.
All right, one more time. Going, gone. Any further commissioner comments? If not, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Get back.
Well, with it. Oh, Commissioner Pearson, are you go ahead?
Yes, yes. Thank you very much, Vice Chairman. I'd like to make a motion to adopt resolution number 19-3742 and at the same time adopt resolution number 19-3743.
The motion made by Commissioner Pearson, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Commissioner Wong. Just for clarification, we have no erratas on either of these, correct? Okay. Discussion on the motion, commissioners. If not, let's vote.
Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you very much. That concludes the public hearings. That moves us to staff reports. Any staff reports this evening?
Yeah, just one report real quickly. I'm sure this commission was made aware of a general plan amendment application that had been filed for the Racquet Club at Irvine site in Rancho San Joaquin along Culver Drive and Ethel Copeland Way. Councilmember Carroll and Mayor Shea held a town hall meeting last Thursday night. There was about 300 residents in attendance. Speaking in opposition to that application, subsequent to that meeting, the applicant, KB Homes, has decided to withdraw that application, so it's been taken off the table for consideration. I believe their intent is to go back out and work with the community, see if there's any solutions before they contemplate anything new for that site, but that's the update for now.
Oh, very good, thank you. Other staff reports? Planning Commission reports, commissioners?
You know, I would like to, I was present at that town hall meeting, and I want to compliment our city council members that originated that session, and compliment the amount of constituents that came out. It was very informative, and I think our public officials listened to the words and acted accordingly.
Thank you, Commissioner Pearson. Other comments, other reports? I should let everyone know that the meeting of August 15th has been canceled due to lack of business items. So our next meeting, if I'm not mistaken, is September 5th. Is that correct?
There's actually a meeting on August 1st.
Oh, you're right. Wishful thinking. So we have the meeting on August 1st, but the meeting on August 15th will be canceled. Seeing no other Planning Commission reports, we will adjourn to the meeting of August 1st. Have a good evening.